Welcome to the Publish Her podcast, a place where you can come to get inspiration, motivation, help, encouragement, and support in your journey to write, publish, and sell your book. Hosted by Alexa Bigwarf. Cause I've been where you've been, and I felt what you're feeling, and I don't want to get in your way. Okay, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Publish Her podcast. I'm your host, Alexa Bigwarf, and today I am extremely pleased to bring you Jess is many things, but she is the founder of Headbands of Hope and Mic Drop Workshop. She's an investor in women, a 2x best-selling author, and a Forbes top-rated speaker. And a new mom. Her first brush with success was selling all of her toys on eBay when she was 12, a born and bred entrepreneur. Since then, Jess and her companies have been featured on Today and Good Morning America, and in 17, Vanity Fair, Forbes, and People. More importantly, they've helped millions of women and girls around the world. She's the best-selling author of Chasing the Bright Side and Create Your Bright Ideas. Her hobbies include writing, hiking, board games with her husband, playing peekaboo with her baby, and searching for the best breakfast burrito in America. That sounds like a fun hobby that keeps you going. I'm sure with all your speaking engagements, you get the opportunity to experience a lot.
Oh, all the time. It's always the top of my list. And one of the main things I ask whenever I'm going somewhere to speak, like, what food should I eat? If I'm going to your town, tell me what I should be eating.
I love that. You are my people. When everything goes around food, that's when I know I have
always around food.
Yes. Well, I just want to say that I have multiple copies of Chasing the
Bright
Side.
Oh, yay. Actually.
I got it a few years ago. I need to go back and read it again, because as I was going through it in preparation for our interview today, I was like, man, there's some good stuff in this book. I need a refresher course.
Oh, good. I'm so glad that you say that. It's funny. I haven't opened it in a while. You know how, I'm not sure, like, do you listen to your own podcast? It's hard sometimes to read your, it's just hard to read your own words or hear yourself. And so when people say, you know, that Chasing the Bright Side changed their life or certain parts, I'm like, that's great. I don't even remember what I said. So I'm glad.
Well, I know one of the things that stuck out with me is that you took, you know, a difficult time and really found literally the bright side. And but I have a big story that people know about with infant loss and growing all of my all of this from that story. So I found this book in that time frame of my life when I was doing things and growing and trying to figure out, you know, what's next. And so I felt like we were, you know, kindred spirits, even though you had no idea who I was as I was reading this book. But the subtitle is Embrace Optimism, Activate Your Purpose, and Write Your Own Story. So obviously that fit in quite well with what was happening in my world. But I wanted to take a moment before we get into our big topic today, which is talking about becoming a speaker and sharing your story with the world. I'd love for you to just give a quick background on how you came to be the author and the speaker and all of these things.
Yeah. Before I do that, Alexa, you said something that really resonated with me and I think is probably the mission behind what you do and what I do. It's, you know, I was reading your book, you had no idea who I was, but I knew who you were and you were helping me. That is like, if I could put that on a bumper sticker of like thought leadership and why you do something like this, that's it. I mean, the amount of times, whether it's from a talk or someone reading the book, or maybe someone listening to your podcast, it's like, you don't know who I am, but you're really influencing me. I feel like this is one of the only career paths where that's really possible to have impact on such a broad scale and reach. Yeah. And I just want more women to be able to have that experience. So when you said that, I was like, oh, that's so perfectly stated. But my story as an author begins earlier than what you probably have in your notes. I always loved writing, would write poems, write short stories, would, you know, really annoy my family by being a journalist and writing down their every move on a piece of paper. And when I was in middle school, I became like obsessed with the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. I don't know if you read those, but I just decided this is it. I'm going to be in Chicken Soup for the Soul. And so I probably submitted close to like 100 submissions until they finally accepted me into their like teenage edition Chicken Soup for the Soul, which at that point I was like, I have made it. Like, this is what life is about. I've peaked. Everything's downhill from here. And, but I think that was the, it's funny, like when you're a kid, and this is a lot of like what the heartbeat of Chasing the Bright Side is about and what I speak about is, you know, you're just walking through like optimism because you haven't been told or seen the limits that exist yet, or you haven't been taught to internalize them. You know, I would use the rejection letters as paper to write my next submission. And then as you become an adult, you're like, oh, well, maybe I should care more about this, or maybe I shouldn't put my words out there. And so if anything, I almost feel like it's been harder, even though I have more knowledge and more things to share, because you have more years of experience. I think, you know, as we age, it's almost harder because you're a little, what will people think? It's like, you're trying to be an agent, an editor, and an author at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, so eventually launched my first book, Chasing the Bright Side, with HarperCollins in 2019. I think it was good timing, not knowing there was a global pandemic about to happen. And right. I had a book about about optimism hope. Yeah, and hope. I'd like to take credit that I planned that, but I didn't. And then it came out as a children's book called Create Your Bright Ideas last year, which was really fun because I was actually pregnant with my daughter when I was writing it. So that was almost like a book to her. And then speaking has just been a way that I actually was a speaker before I was an author. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to talk about like what that looks like too, because I think the two are so like peanut butter and jelly, and one can just help the other.
I agree. So,
but I just realized how male dominated the industry was in thought leadership, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise. You know, men love to hear themselves talk and think that they know everything. So I'm like, we need more women speaking, writing books. So in 2018, I started Mic Drop Workshop, and we exist to help women get paid speaking engagements. So lots to do there.
That is so funny. We were on basically the same trajectory because
yes.
2018 was when I started the Women in Publishing Summit too, largely for the same reason. I just wasn't seeing the women's voices, authors, publishers. Again, there's so many incredible women leading publishing houses and doing things in the publishing world that just weren't being represented, and no diversity as
no
well.
Diversity.
So
yeah.
wanted to do something about that. I know this is off topic, but I'm a huge philanthropist myself. So I would really love it if you would tell the audience a little bit about Headbands. It's
yeah.
For Hope or Of Hope?
Of Hope. Yeah. Headbands of Hope. Happily, because, you know, that's my first startup, Headbands of Hope, in college, was really how I got accidentally introduced to thought leadership. And I had started this company out of my dorm room in college where for every headband sold, we donate one to a child with an illness. And this was after I interned at Make-A-Wish and saw a lot of kids who love to wear headbands after hair loss, but so many of them would be given a wig or a hat. And so again, being young, I was like 17, 18 years old, great entrepreneur, because you're just not thinking about what could go wrong. You're like, of course I'm going to do this and it's going to be great. And then you learn a lot. But, you know, with no marketing budget, with no experience, one of the ways that I was able to get the word out about Headbands of Hope in the beginning was like begging my college professors for 5 minutes of time before class. I'm like, can I just get up in front of the class and tell them about what I'm doing and where they can buy them? And then I realized, okay, if I share my story, but then also tie it in with a lesson for the class, then I'll get 20 minutes. And then if I get good at that, then people will actually pay me to do that, where I share my story and then the lesson for the audience. And so that was the way that I was able to scale Headbands of Hope, was by going around mostly at colleges in the beginning, sharing my story, but also how students can create their ideas as well.
Yeah.
And not only was it the way that it was getting the word out for Headbands of Hope, it was the way that I was able to fund the company without any kind of outside investment, because I was getting speaking fees from it. And so I'm a huge proponent of any kind of founder or anyone who's doing their own thing to add thought leadership to your marketing plan.
Well, that's a perfect segue then, is moving into this speaking thing, because I think this speaking thing, I know for me, it's been on my agenda of things that I've wanted to do for a long time. I feel like I have a big message, a big story. I often get asked a lot about, you know, how this all began, how I started writing books and my journey through all of the different things. And there's something to be said for the power of our stories and how we get there, and then taking those not only in our books, but taking those and speaking to people as well. So, but no matter how many times, like, I think this is important and it's something to do, I'm really intimidated and it's hard, even though I speak all the time on virtual conferences. Like, that feels easy to me. I know how to do it. I show up from my lovely, messy office and do what I need to do. But getting out on a stage feels like it requires so much preparation and all the things. So let's back up a little bit, because that's an enormous question. Why should authors consider speaking, and how do you kind of get started with that?
Yeah. Well, first, I just want to validate you in what you're feeling, because it does, it's like people fear public speaking more than they fear sharks. It's like the number one fear in America. It's science-based. It's not just my opinion. And I think there's a couple reasons behind that, which I'll get into, but it's totally valid to feel fear around it. And then also, like, speaking and writing, although they're they go hand in hand, are very different muscles. Like, writing a book, you can be in your cozy pajamas with hot cocoa and, you know, on 10,000 words. Speaking is bright lights, like hoping your sweat isn't showing through your clothes and wondering why this man is not smiling when you just made a joke. Like, it's just a totally different arena that you're in. And it's not for everyone. So if, like, public speaking, you're like, this feels like just not in my wheelhouse, take the pressure off. Don't worry about it. There's a lot of more intimate environments when it comes to public speaking that, like, that you can, maybe it's a small book tour that you do at local coffee shops, you know, or something like that. So it doesn't have to be the huge TED, like, big bright light stages. But one of the things that I think is so important about speaking when it comes to your book is it brings your words to human form. And it also gives you the chance to highlight, like, what's the most digestible, important parts of my message that the audience can take away. It was actually hard for me to do that because I was a speaker before I was a writer. So I had these word packages of a 1-hour keynote. And then when it was time to write the book, it was like, I really had to expand those stories and almost think underneath layers that I haven't been down in a while, which was scary, but also therapeutic in a way.
Yeah.
So speaking is a really great way to just humanize your writing. So when people know your words, like, it's like why people would read the book and then want to go watch the movie. Like, they want to see you in human form, deliver it with the storytelling and the emotion and the humanness that they've read from your words.
Yeah, I have the exact opposite problem of you. I love writing because I love words, and I joke with people all the time. Like, I can't even tell you my name in under a minute. So I just talk and talk and talk and talk when I have the opportunity. So I know for me, that's one of the challenging things too, is really finding that core message.
Yeah.
And pulling all the things, because our stories are complex. We don't get to a point where we're a thought leader or have these big stories without having a lot behind it.
Right.
And, you know, having somebody help me mold that messaging, I think is really important, which leads me to my next question, is how do you share your story in public speaking? Mm-hmm. How do you take that big message and boil it down to 30 minutes or 1 hour of the most important elements?
So just as you would break your book into chapters, you know, I want you to break your talk into 5 mini talks. Mm. So typically the standard keynote time is 1 hour, but in speaking for an hour without notes or without anything seems crazy. And so instead we do this in Mic Drop Workshop, you break it into 5 parts, and each part of your talk is a key lesson. And so let's say your talk is around, you know, going for it, and you want to motivate audiences to go for it. Then what are the five things that people need to know in order to go for it? Well, they need to know what they're going towards. They need to know what motivates them. They need to know how to react and respond to failure. And so all of those are five micro talks within your 1 hour talk. And then I'll give you a tip of how to be concise and like punchy with each of those five talks. Use a method that we do in Mic Drop Workshop called bump, set, spike. So the bump is setting up the lesson. So you are talking about why it's important, why someone should listen, that you have to know how to respond to failure if you go for it. And that's your bump. You're setting up the lesson. The set is setting the scene. What's the story? What's the personal anecdote that happened in your life where you yourself were the student of this lesson? So when did you learn how to respond to failure? And then the spike is the headline. Like, what's the, like the one sentence digestible takeaway that you want someone to walk away with from that micro talk? So really, you're doing that five times in a 1 hour talk. So it becomes almost more formulaic. Yeah. And then once you have that formula, then you can color outside the lines and change things. But it's like, just get one talk down in this formula and then go from there.
So first of all, were you a volleyball player? I have a daughter who's yes. a volleyball player. So I was like, yeah. I recognize yeah. those words. Yep. That's
so fun. I was a volleyball player. And yeah, hopefully people who read it know the reference. So,
well, okay. That was all joking aside. I've never heard anybody explain it. I've listened to a lot of people talking about creating keynotes, and I've never heard anybody explain it like that. And that feels so manageable to yes. be able to have that little formula where you're just going, because I think a lot of times when we're thinking about our big speech, we're thinking about the full hour, just like when mm-hmm. we're thinking about writing a book, right? We get so wrapped up in the idea of, oh my gosh, I have this whole book to write, instead of breaking it down and being like chapter one or section one or whatever it yes. is. I love that way that you've broken it down. That feels much more manageable and a way to be able to think about it. Before we get into talking about how you help women become speakers, just a little bit of a backtrack again. When you were getting started out, what were the first things that you did to really, I know you started very young and you had the headbands of hope and mm-hmm. you were doing that with your class. So let's put that one aside. When you came mm-hmm. out with the other things, with the chasing the bright side and growing into your real big speaking that has led to the Mic Drop Workshop and all of those, What did you do just to get started with your messaging and your speaking?
Yeah. So I would say I'll actually share something I feel like I did wrong in the beginning that helped me do something right. Is once I realized that I wanted to speak and I was like, this is a great way to make impact, income, spread the word about my business, I just started going on a tear, and I would like reach out to any college sorority, like anyone that I knew was booking speakers. But what I would do is I would tell them about who I was. And then I would say, are you looking for a speaker? And it was, I remember I sent so many emails that Gmail like shut my account down. They're like, you're done. Oh, no, this is... Yeah, exactly. I was like, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not getting the responses? And that's when I realized like I was pitching my story and not my value. And that's so important whenever you're looking for opportunities to speak or even looking for representation for your book or whatever it might be, is like who you are is secondary to how you help. And so how you help is what you should lead with. So instead of me saying, hey, my name is Jess, I'm the founder of this company, I've done all these great things, saying, hey, do your students have ideas that they want to like start businesses with? Or, you know, that's not a good way to do it. But instead of saying, this is about me and why you should bring me to speak, it's here's how I can help you. Do you need that help? And I think like that was a turning point in my career when I stopped like leading with my story. And the thing that's also important around that is like when you feel like the decision making is based on your story, you know, I was also trying to be like perfect, like this really credible person, When in reality, if I was just there to help them, then it wasn't about being perfect. It was about sharing my story in a way that helps them. Yeah. And we know that most of the time, the things that we can share that are helpful are the times that we didn't do things right. And so it's almost about like not caring how you look and not caring how credible it makes you seem and saying, this is what people need to know. Like one of the biggest stories I tell in my book or on my talk is like when I lost a loan that my dad gave me to start my business from a fraudulent manufacturer. It was like one of the worst moments of my life.
Yes.
But it was pivotal for me. And so almost putting your ego aside and saying, what does the audience need? I think that was like a big part of the turning point in the beginning of my career.
So let's talk money, because that's what we're all
interested in. Love talking money.
Lots of people say, you know, make so much money as a speaker. And like, I clearly know people who are, I know one guy who makes six figures every time he speaks. I mean, can you even imagine? I cannot even imagine being paid over $100,000 to come
for
and
talk. Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's how like in demand he is. And it happens, but it feels like one of those untouchables for me. I'm like, the most I've ever been paid for a speaking event was $200, which I was so happy for.
Yeah.
You know, that felt great.
But you are now a professional speaker. You got money for your services. There we go.
There you go. I can put that on there. Professional speaker. But when it, you know, obviously I've heard a lot of people say, you know, start with free events like a chamber of commerce or things like that. And obviously those are good to get you comfortable speaking. And funny story, like it surprises people a lot to know that there was a time in my life I was terrified to say any words in front of anybody. And I was in the Air Force, and I was at Air Force Officer Training School, and we had to do three briefings as part of our Officer Training School graduation requirements. And so we had, for 5 minutes, we had to stand in front of our classmates and deliver a speech on whatever topic it was. I stayed up all night long to memorize this thing because I was so terrified. And we couldn't, if you blew your time limit, you failed. If you like all these kinds of things, it was scary.
That's tough.
Yes.
That's tough. Yeah.
I was so terrified, had to memorize my speech to be able to do it. So, you know, practice is good is what I'm trying to say here. Like getting out at those events where nobody's paid you and you don't have that additional pressure of bringing the value for the money. But do you have to? Are there some opportunities for people that can just get right out there into the paid stuff if they're already comfortable or have been doing online summits?
Absolutely. So many students that are in Mic Drop Workshop are like, oh, I've never spoken before, but yet they were head of their PTA, or they were a teacher for years, or they led meetings at their company that they worked for. And so speaking is in many forms. And also speaking is not just to many, speaking can be to one.
Yeah.
And so you can get started, like free is definitely available, but so is $1,500. So is honestly $4,000 or $5,000. So what we found is like beginning speakers can make anywhere from like $300 to $5,000 in their first few gigs.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons why I love teaching speaking, is because the path to revenue is pretty short. And I love publishing, but it annoys me how long it takes some time to actually see the money from it. But I will say that having a book is super helpful in demanding more fee as a speaker. Mm-hmm. So it sometimes the book revenue, in my opinion, is indirect. Like you get that revenue from speaking and you get it from coaching or consulting or whatever it might be. But anyways, we could talk about that. and so the places that I would say to look where you can find that fee early on is alma maters are really low hanging fruit. Where'd you go to high school? Where'd you go to college? They're always looking to bring in alumni and they have budgets. Local chambers of commerce are always looking to bring in local people and they have budgets. And then associations are like, there's an association for everything. There's association. Yeah. There's even an association for associations. Like that's how that inception it is, but there's regional, there's state, there's just some, and they all need programming. And they all need women. That's the thing too, is like, they are getting the feedback that people are like not standing for it anymore. If you have an all male lineup, or if you have a history of only bringing in male speakers, people aren't going to attend your events. So not only is it the right thing to do just morally, it's also a good business decision to bring in women speakers because more people will attend. So those are just some places to start looking. But I will say money is not the only value asset that you can get as a speaker. So some other things I would negotiate, even if it's free, is photos and videos. Will there be a photographer and videographer at the event? And you have the rights to use those. That's huge and can be so valuable. A testimonial after you get done speaking, one or two sentences about how great you were. And the third one that a lot of people forget it or don't ask for are referrals. Like, yes, I'll definitely speak at your event for free. However, I need, you know, five introductions to similar events or people in 2 weeks afterwards. So those are some ways that you can speak for free or for not a full rate, but also get huge value out of it.
Those are great tips. I would have never even thought about when you said other things you can add in. My brain automatically went to what I hear people normally say. Maybe you get a free ticket to the event or some of your airfare or some of your things. I would have never thought about those, which are actually better than cash.
Better than cash. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. And even if it's free, put those in a contract and just officialize it. And anything that is promised, put it in a contract. And I think this is also sometimes tough for women because we've been told not to ask for things and not to overstep. And anything that you want before the contract is signed is fair game. You know, where it gets like, oh, come on, is like after the contract is signed and after things are agreed upon. But like, I was at an event, you know, when Tim Tebow was speaking and I'm in the green room and he's got like this T-bone steak with like asparagus. I was like, where can I get a T-bone?
Where's
steak?
Where's my him? Steak?
He's like, they're like, he asked for it. He put in his contract. And I was like, well, dang, I didn't know that. So, I mean, not that like I go that far, but I'm just like, yeah, ask for it. You know, the worst they can say is no. Yeah.
I think that one of the biggest roadblocks for people to become speakers is not knowing all of these types of steps, ways to find the conference, ways to break down your keynote, ways to pitch yourself, having contracts, all of those, how to set your speaker fees. I think what happens is, well, I know, I'll tell you exactly what happens with me. I don't know what I don't know, just like when I came into the publishing world, and it just scares me so much right from the beginning. I get imposter syndrome and I think, I can't do this. So I want to now talk about how you help people. I will be signing up for your course just to let everybody know, because this is exactly, and I took a sneak peek at it on your website. I love how you, speaking of like promoting, my gosh, if you want to see great ways to promote your courses and things, definitely go to micdropworkshop.com, because I love that you did a video that walks through everything that's in your course. I love that you have the contract section and samples and all of those things to use. I'm going to stop talking now and let you tell us about Mic Drop Workshop.
I love that. I'm like, oh, wow, we're doing a great job over here. It's good to be reminded of that sometimes.
Yeah,
but yeah, Mic Drop Workshop started in 2018. I was tired of seeing only men in the speaker lineups. I was tired of being told that, oh, we paid you $8,500 to come speak. We paid the male keynote $50,000 to come speak.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, there were so many things that were just in my face around this is like an issue. And so I rented out this like bottom floor of a restaurant on a Thursday night in Raleigh where I live and put up an Eventbrite and was like, any women that want to come learn how to get paid to speak, come to this restaurant Thursday evening. I'll have wine and cheese.
Wow.
And it was like door to door, you know, so many women were in there. And then there were so many women that couldn't get in or that didn't live locally. And they said, I need to know this information. And so I put it on, you know, a simple course that turned into this huge movement that's, you know, called Mic Drop Workshop. And we've now trained thousands of women who get paid to speak and eventually go on to write books and do some amazing things. But it's really, I mean, there's other speaking courses out there. There's other places that you can look at. But I think the thing that separates us is two things. One, we're built just for women. So we have, that's our mission, is to get more women on stages. And then we built like a referral community. So our community is designed to not just support women, but refer each other. So after you speak in an event, it's rare that they're going to say, come back next year. It's, we need to bring someone else new. Who do you know? So we want everyone in our course to refer each other to future events. And then the other thing too, is like, I'm the one that's out there. I'm doing this. The course is, and everything that we use is designed from lived experiences that have worked for me. And I know that that seems like, well, duh, but there's so many courses out there from people who are not actually doing it. So I'm like, no, this is, I'm on the road. I'm speaking a ton and it's something that I love and I want to share all my secrets.
You're negotiating in T-bone steaks and finding the best
T-bone steaks. Exactly.
These are the things we need to know. Oh my gosh. Well, it's so exciting. So it's the Mic Drop Workshop. Now you do a free, a free workshop for people to learn all the things, right?
Yes. We have a free, so if you go to micdropworkshop.com, you can sign up for one of our free trainings. We'll also have a 5-day speak on stage boot camp starting in April. So make sure that you sign up for our email list. Our email list is actually really cool too. We send out gig opportunities there and tips for speakers. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get everything.
I assume if you sign up for the free training, you get on the newsletter.
Yes. And then, for sure. Yeah.
So just because we like to be very clear on paths, the journey here, it's the free workshop, or on your website, you can go straight to your other paid opportunities if they're ready to jump right in after hearing this.
Yeah. If you're ready to jump right in, go for it, but start with the free training. And then at the end, I'll talk about the paid workshop. And either way, you'll get something from the free training too.
And it's robust, as I meant, and you don't have to take my word for it. You can go watch a video on the website that shows you everything that's in the entire itinerary, the whole course and all of the modules that are in there. But you also have a community that people are in as well for.
Yes. So anyone who joins the course joins our closed community. And so it's really great. Women are like meeting up in person. They're sharing speaking opportunities. A lot of them are writing books, sharing how they're doing it, what they're using, agents, things like that. And so it's really just a strong community of women thought leaders that are all there to support each other. And so I'd like to say that the course is like the reason why people join, but I think the community is like a huge pull for people.
It really is. I mean, that's what, that's our big thing here with the Women in Publishing Summit community too, is that, you know, the conference, yes, we have great training workshops and that's part of it. Right. But it's really about who you meet and who you spend time with and how you move forward together as a community. So I love that. I hope that others who are looking at adding speaking are as fired up as I am about this, excited about the April boot camp. Perfect timing for me because my world is mayhem until the end of the conference. And then I have April is usually kept open so that I will be joining you on that. But I feel like 2024 may not be the year that I get, although I do have one speaking engagement in April. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Yes,
I'm speaking twice at the, on two panels at the, Publishing University for the Independent Book Publishers Association.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. That look at you. You keep saying that you're like not doing this, but you are, you've been paid to speak. You have stuff on your calendar. You got it.
But 2025, Jess, I want a big stage. That's my goal. I want a big stage in 2025 and you're going to help me get there.
I will help you get there. I would say make this year the year that you like build your keynote and discover what you want to be known for and kind of build those digital assets, which are all in Mic Drop Workshop. And then that way you're really primed to start pitching some of those bigger events in 2025. Yeah.
So much great information in this interview. Thank you so much. You are as wonderful in person as I expected you would be. So
thanks. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And thanks for the community that you've built. It's amazing to see like-minded women sharing tips, resources, so we can all just get one more step further together. So thanks for what you do.
Oh, thank you. And just one last time, the best place for people to go. I'm including the links to your websites and your LinkedIn and Twitter and all of those types of things. But
You can go to micdropworkshop.com. That's the best way to get our speaker training. But also, if you're feeling fun, I send out a hype text every Monday at 11 a.m. with like a quote to start your week. So you can send me the word hype to 704-228-9495. And that's actually me on the other end too. It's not like a bot. So if you want to tell me what you thought of the podcast or anything or have questions, you can text me there.
That's so fun. A hype text.
Yeah.
Can I steal that? I'm just kidding.
For
We're sending
it. Yeah.
Everybody to you.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we will see you in the mic drop workshop.
Yes. Can't wait. Thanks, Alexa.
Thank you. You don't have to give me your heart. You don't have to give it away. Thank you for joining us on the Publisher Podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode. Great huge thanks goes to Jasmine Commerce for the use of her song. You can find Jasmine on SoundCloud. Go check out all of her music. We'll see you next time.